Очи черные, очи страстные, очи жгучие и прекрасные. Как люблю я вас, как боюсь я вас. Знать увидел вас, я б не добрый час. Очи черные, жгуче пламенны, и манят они в страны дальние, где царит любовь, где царит покой, где страдания нет, где вражды запрет.
Welcome to Weird Thinking with Chainsaw and Rocket,
where weird thoughts come to life. Joining us today is our producer, Single Shot. Hello, Single Shot.
Hello.
And how do you feel about being here today, Single Shot?
Like I want to leave.
Jeez.
It's right. Because we scared you. You almost peed your pants.
Sure.
And
today we also have Silver Tongue.
Hey.
Hello, Silver Tongue. So you were talking to us about a really weird story.
Mm-hmm. Really cool, weird story.
I was not familiar with it. Were you guys, any of you?
I was not.
I was.
Okay. So why don't you share what the topic is today and a little background on it?
Sure. So we're going to be talking about the Dyatlov Pass incident. And it's a story of nine really experienced hikers that go missing in the Ural Mountains for unexplained reasons.
Correct. Yes. And they didn't just go missing. They were straight up killed by something.
By something.
By something. And by that you mean an animal, another human, an extraterrestrial.
Possibly military reasons. The theories, Yeti.
Yeah.
A Yeti?
Yeah.
There's so many theories.
Infrasound?
So
what was wrong with them?
Infrasound.
So they actually found the bodies of these people?
Oh,
yes. Yes.
Okay, and what was wrong with the bodies?
Frozen and mummified? And
no. So actually, well, yes.
Sure, let's okay. Go over the story first.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So there were a group of friends, and they'd all hiked together before, and they were all students at the Ural Polytechnical University. Mm-hmm. And at the time, they were seeking a grade 3 certification for, like, mountain hiking and skiing. And so grade 3 certification actually includes 106 miles, a minimum of 16 days in uninhabited territory. 62 miles of it has to be difficult terrain. And of course, since this was back in 1959, all they had was maps and a compass.
A minimum of 16 days?
I think it's total.
Jeez.
From like grade 1 to grade 3. And grade 3 was the highest certification you can get at the time.
Crazy. Again, like really, really experienced hikers. Mm-hmm. And they're like used to the climate because obviously
Russia.
Like
Soviet Union.
Yeah, the Soviet Union's really, really, really cold, like mm-hmm. below freezing.
Below degree.
So Chainsaw. It starts off with 10 hikers, but one is forced to turn around, so 9 of them go together.
Yeah, so the hiker that turned around was having like problems, like health problems.
Lifelong ailments.
Yeah.
And he still went?
Like, well,
was that important to him?
He tried to make it, but obviously like his health ended up impacting him to the point that he couldn't continue.
Yeah, it was something he liked doing and mm-hmm. thought he could do, but I guess by the time they were getting close to starting, he was just in so much pain, he had to turn around.
Yeah.
So they consider him the one and only survivor, although he wasn't part of the actual climb.
At all, yeah.
So do you want to go over who was involved?
If you want to go over their names, because I'm pretty bad at Russian names.
So,
ooh, I want to say the name.
Give me for all these things. Do you want to try them?
Sure.
Okay, so I have them here.
And these are the
Nine hikers.
Mm-hmm. We have Igor Dyatlov, the leader. He was 23 years old. We have Yuri Doroshenko. That wasn't Russian at all.
It's Yuri.
Yuri Doroshenko, 21 years old. Lyudmila Dubimina, 20 years old. Zinaida Kolmogorova, 22 years old. Yuri Krivonishenko, 25 years old. Alexander Kolevakhtov, 24 years old. Rostam Slobodan, 23 years old. Nikolai Thibodeau Brignoles, 25 years old. Seaman Zolotaryov, 37 years old.
I'm pretty sure it's actually pronounced that way.
And yeah,
but that was also, my best effort. He actually asked to be called Sasha. So I think they weren't sure of his real name for a while.
Huh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about that.
Very, very curious.
Yeah, yeah, and so Seaman or Sasha was actually 37 years old. So he was a lot older than the rest of the group. And he was supposed to go with a completely different group, but at the last minute asked Igor to let him join.
Hmm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting, and that might have swayed my theory.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, so I didn't know that much about this, and I just started doing research, and it was so interesting that I kind of wish I had a little bit more time to do some more research. But the whole thing, like, once we get further into, like, the deaths is really, really...
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, sorry, Silver Tongue.
Sure. So, again, their goal was to reach Orton Mountain. And we have an assumed timeline because they kept extensive diaries, mm-hmm. and I think most of them had cameras,
photos, yeah.
So there's quite a few pictures you can look at, and some of these websites that are covering it actually have the pictures separated into who took these pictures from each camera.
Which is super, super
cool. It's really cool.
That's cool.
And this is all in, like, 1959. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So do you want me to go over the timeline?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so January 25th, 1959 is when the group arrives to Idvel, and they take a train to an inhabited settlement north called Vizhai. On the 27th...
Sorry.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody we know. On the 27th, they begin to Orton from Vizhai, and on the 28th is when Yuri Yudin is forced to turn back. So by the 31st, the group reaches the edge of a highland area, and by the 1st is where they begin to climb, and they actually plan to camp on the opposite side, but due to these really terrible conditions on the mountain, they got lost. They thought they were somewhere else completely, so they had to end up making camp just where they were.
Which was also unusual, though, because they could have hiked a little further into the forest, mm-hmm. and yet they stopped where they did.
They stayed on the slope.
Yeah. And also, wasn't it also that they did have compasses? That was all they had, correct?
Yeah, the compasses and maps.
And then the weather.
But the weather made them completely disoriented. So they headed west to the top of Kolatsiakal, which by the Mansi people in the area was known as Dead Mountain. But it was actually supposedly considered by the Mansi people to be Dead Mountain because there was no game or anything to hunt.
Oh.
And I couldn't verify this, but in a podcast I was listening to, they claimed to have found a Mansi legend that referred to a hunting party of nine that goes missing on Dead Mountain for no reason.
That's an urban legend?
It's supposedly a Mansi legend in the area. Again, I couldn't verify it and see anything, but one of the podcasts I listened to said they found it on, like, some website.
That's interesting.
Hmm. Oh, my God. Interesting.
So, again, the group was planning on to be back on the 12th of February, but nobody was really concerned when they didn't show up. So these sorts of things, like these trips, sometimes are a little, like, maybe days early or a few days late.
Uh-huh.
So nobody was really too concerned when they didn't show up on the 12th.
Plus, also, didn't the, like, leader kind of mention it to the guy? Did you guys already say that? About or the guy who had to leave early?
Mm-hmm.
The leader of the group had told him, we're probably going to be a little bit longer.
Yeah, these sort of things sometimes vary. I guess their arrival date varies from a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And the friends and family of these kids, which they were kids, they were really young, were growing more and more concerned. But again, people weren't taking it too seriously. So by February 20th is when rescue operations began. And by the 26th is when they started finding these bodies.
Really? That's a long time.
It's a long time.
But that's where it starts getting crazy.
Really weird.
So what?
So they found So the first search group, right,
mm-hmm.
ended up finding the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found the tent, like, it was covered with a little bit of snow and stuff. But the tent showed that they had actually ripped it open from the inside to get out.
And it was the back of the tent. Why did they go through the front?
They had literally, like, tried to escape by ripping the tent from the inside out. And they managed to get out, all nine of them. There's nine different sets of footprints with no other footprints around.
Mm-hmm. What?
And apparently the camp was left in such a way that it looked like
they were attacked?
No, that they had just gone out for a walk and were planning to come back. Everything was orderly. Everything was really in their place, but they were all missing. Pretty much all of their shoes were there. A lot of their clothing was still in the tent. So something made them leave, but it just looked like they were going to come back.
And so I actually was reading one of the articles that I read said that, like, they had also just set up the camera on, like, a... They had made their own, like, tripod, and they had just set up the camera right before they left. Like, they were, like, about to take a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, again, some of these people left in, like, below freezing temperature without shoes.
What?
Some of them without, like, jackets.
The temperature actually ranged from negative 13 degrees Fahrenheit to negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit. And these guys were experienced. They'd know better than to go outside
without
for
being bundled
any
up.
Reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would cause them to be, these nine experienced hikers, to be so frightened in whatever they were doing?
No other footprints around, just their
own?
No.
That they just take off. They're doing something. Something freaks them out enough that these experienced hikers cut their way out of the tent and run.
Yeah, so multiple footprints of the people were wearing only socks or completely barefoot.
Yeah.
And it led into the woods. Now, when Krivonyshenko and Doroshenko were found, they were found without shoes and were in their underwear.
Yeah.
They might have been wearing shirts. I can't remember that.
No, I think it was only in
just
underwear.
In their underwear. Mm-hmm. So in near them were a bunch of broken branches that looked like maybe they had tried to climb.
Trying
to climb the tree, which could have been hiding from something, or maybe they went out and couldn't figure out where to get back, so they're trying to get a height advantage. Mm-hmm.
Because I had seen that their hands were very badly damaged, but also burned.
Yeah,
but
one of them had, like, skin from his own hand in his teeth.
What?
And there was, like, from what I also read, there was, like, skin and stuff on the tree from where they had been trying to like,
get up.
Climb up. And it was, like, 5 feet up. Like, pretty high up.
So then Dyatlov, Kolmogorva, and Slobodin were found in what looks like they were trying to get back to the tent.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really together. They're kind of, like, spaced out.
They were all, there was like one was 300, one was 480, and one was 630 meters from the tree.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually found better dressed, but still without the essential clothing they would need to be in that kind of weather and temperature.
And the poses, again, suggested that it looked like they were trying to get back to camp.
Right. So then the last members, they remained missing until May 4th.
Oh, wait, I think you forgot to mention, though, that Slobodin, or how do you say that?
Slobodin.
Had a small fracture to his head.
Yes.
That was it. Mm-hmm. There was no other injuries. And keep in mind that he did not die from the small fracture. He was actually, like, they all died of the elements.
Hypothermia.
Right. So, again, the last members were found May 4th under some snow. Mm-hmm. And they were deeper into the woods and also more dressed. And it looks like they were found wearing clothes of other party members, including strips of clothing, like not all of it, but maybe like a rip from pants or from a shirt.
Dubinina? I can't say that.
I think Dubinina?
Dubinina was actually found with her foot wrapped in Kurvanchenko's pants, like his wool pants.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first guy. The first two guys from by the fire, because there was also a small fire by the by the tree. And the
first active fire?
It looked like they had tried to get a fire going, maybe to keep themselves warm or to have some kind of signal.
Or light to find their way, who knows. But she did have a piece of his pants wrapped around her foot.
What?
So the three fatal injuries were of major skull and chest fractures. But when a doctor, Dr. Vorozhong Denny, looked at them, he said there was no external evidence of a cause for major fractures
to the
in their chest and to their skulls. And he claimed that these injuries, these internal injuries, were to that of a 30 miles per hour car crash.
Seriously?
Yeah. So think again, they had no visible external wounds
on the skin,
but their skulls and their chests were crushed, seeming like they were in a car crash.
What? Yeah.
One of the four hikers that had been found in the ravine had a major like skull fracture. Mm-hmm. And then one of the three that was found walking back to the camp, he also had a small, his was like a small head fracture.
Didn't look like it.
But nothing showed like evidence that like
what? No external
there
wounds.
Was no external wounds.
Not bruising, nothing. Mm-hmm. Just their crazy. Insides crushed. Now, unfortunately for Dubonina, she was actually found with her eyes missing, her tongue missing, and parts of her lips and facial tissue missing. Mm-hmm. Now, at first they thought, oh, she was found in a ravine, so they thought she was exposed to the elements. Mm-hmm. Animals could have, you know,
which naturally does, like, when animals do
eat you,
it usually starts with, like, the nose, the eyes, the mouth.
But the thing about this was that she was found to have, her own blood in her stomach, which could possibly mean that these injuries occurred while she was still alive.
Really?
Yeah.
And then also another weird thing to notate, one of the four hikers that was found in the ravine, he was wearing Dubonina's actual, he was wearing her coat and hat, mm-hmm. and he was in the like ravine with her. And he also had for some reason grabbed his camera. Out of all the things to grab when you're in such a hurry, he had managed to grab his camera.
The semen or Sasha?
Zavoltarov or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He had managed to grab his camera. Didn't grab a jacket, didn't grab anything else, but grabbed his camera.
And they weren't sure if he grabbed it or if it was already on his neck because it was on a strap.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, nowadays that's pretty normal.
It could have been
on his
neck and they were in such a hurry to leave, they just fucking left.
But then that doesn't explain why they had the other camera ready to take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
It was still in position.
For our society today, everyone has a camera on them. And
they all
if anything happens, we immediately record it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it could have been the same way. Like, some people just wanted to have the camera at all times to document.
Have everything, yeah.
But it does seem strange that they went without clothing, but somebody did have a camera, regardless of the reason why.
Well, and that they managed to go and get clothing off the bodies that were, found prior.
Right.
That was weird. Also, I don't know if we already touched on this, but the clothing that was, examined from the bodies was radioactive.
Yes. Awesome.
Like,
it had
highly
twice
radioactive.
The amount of natural radiation. It's still not a fatal amount, but it's odd that their bodies had a normal amount, but their clothes had twice the amount of the natural radiation from the area.
Cool.
So, the main phrase people hear about this, that somebody described it, is that they died of unknown compelling force.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing you hear most often with this case. It
I think
was from an unknown compelling force.
That's what was on the death certificate.
Was it?
Yeah. Also, another weird thing to mention, going back to the camera thing, was that there was one photograph from Yuri Krivonsichenko,
mm-hmm.
who's one of the first ones found by the fire in the tree. There was a picture. The last picture he took was of a blurry, glowing image
mm-hmm.
of some kind.
Really?
That is still today, unexplained.
Right. And we can get into that a little later as to one of the possible theories. So these files on this case mm-hmm. were actually held in secret for many, many years. Remember, this is 1959.
Yeah.
They weren't released until the 1990s, and there were only photocopies, and some of them were claimed to be missing. Mm-hmm. A diary and a camera, I think.
And an envelope.
And an envelope?
Mm-hmm. And then there was also the weird part was that when the investigation happened, they closed the investigation 3 months after all of this happened
mm-hmm.
and did not allow anybody into that vicinity or area for mm-hmm. 3 years.
Really?
There's 3 months closed and then 3 years of nobody
Permanent,
being
like
able
nobody.
To get to that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I always jump to the alien theory.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, mm-hmm. other people do too. So tell me what they have said about that.
So let's go into some of the theories. But before I also want to mention how, with the whole them like going back to the case, mm-hmm. there was also another guy who came out and was trying to, what was his name? He was like a researcher and he had done a lot of like information on this and he tried to open the file again mm-hmm. and immediately was shut down by the prosecutor, which happened a lot of times. And also another note that I took was that the head of Svardovsky prosecutor's office was present at the autopsies of the first few mm-hmm. and he spent 3 days there, which they said was highly unusual, that had never happened. But it was just all these weird things that happened and then all the information that went missing mm-hmm. and like how people weren't allowed.
Well, look at Roswell, like how they sealed all those mm-hmm. files and everything, and they were very secretive about what went on there, so I imagine it's the same situation.
Yeah. Totally. But anyway, let's go back to the theories.
Well, Russia is a major superpower. So.
Yeah, and this is like Soviet Union times. Mm-hmm. Like,
so yeah, the main question. Soviet Union times.
This was literally. Well, this I'll is kill the you height. If you know too much.
Yeah, yeah this yeah. is at the height of like.
People disappeared.
Quickly, easily. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, the main question is: why did they leave this tent
in such a hurry?
In such a hurry, without their and essentials. Still left their things as if they were coming back. So a forensics expert actually studied the tent and can confirm that it was cut from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if they were attacked, unless they were coming from the front of it, why did they leave out the back?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they heard someone coming from that side and were just trying to get out unnoticed before but they also, got too close.
Why would they tear up their tent, which is a huge essential part of like camping mm-hmm. and survival, is having, you know,
protection.
Shelter.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's something that, like, wouldn't typically mm-hmm. happen with 9 experienced hikers.
Right. So were they trying to leave? Was there some kind of fight? Were they attacked and fled?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start getting into the theories. One theory is that it was an avalanche. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any?
I find that highly unlikely. Like, right. You would think that they would have solid evidence of an avalanche occurring.
Exactly. There would have been more evidence. There would have been more debris. There would have been signs of an avalanche.
When avalanches they got there, don't rip your eyeballs out.
That's well, true.
And not just that, but also, like, there was never any kind of, like, what is it, like, geographic
right.
indication that there was any kind of problem with avalanches there.
Right.
And some experts had said, due to the angle of the slope and the area on the mountain, it wasn't prone to avalanches.
Right.
And they would have probably known that once they figured out where they were.
Yeah.
And again, I think they'd know better to rip out of the tent and try to run from it.
I'm sure. Yeah, and their footprints weren't right. covered. Their footprints exactly. were still
their
there.
Their footprints were still there. Yeah. So it was easily dismissed by most people looking at this case.
Of course.
But it was still considered a valid theory.
I apologize for choking and dying. I'm very sick.
But podcasting is life, so.
So that's what we do.
Deal with it. Chainsaw.
Yeah. Okay, continue. So another theory is infrasound, mm-hmm. which is a sound that you can't hear audibly, but your body and brain will respond to it.
Almost I've like heard a of panic it. Reaction.
Right.
Like,
yeah, it can cause feelings of dread or fear or panic attacks, which is similar to like electromagnetic fields, right? In the paranormal research, don't they say that that can cause physical reactions?
It can be as simple as... like a soundtrack to a scary movie. It's meant to instill that fear in you, mm-hmm. give a response, an adrenaline response.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
All right. So I forget who...
It seems awfully, like an awfully large, compelling outside source to be able to drive people to that level of desperation, though.
But also, that doesn't explain the collapsed chest. Like, would the sound have caused...
Most of these theories aren't going to explain the injuries.
No. Right.
We're just trying to debunk the theories. You know?
So, Donnie Eicher's book, Dead Mountain, this is his main suggestion. He thinks infrasound is the reason and can explain everything.
Hmm.
So, I guess what he's saying is that the wind created by a Karaman vortex street or a repeating pattern of swirling vortices... caused this by creating unsteady separation of flow and fluid around blunt bodies. And that's what I'd like read and just written down.
Okay.
So he thinks the sound of, I guess, the environment and the area and the way it had to flow around their bodies caused this infrasound. But again, this is his theory. I'm not sure how, if he's an expert on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That seems weird to me, just because.
But I have
the extent of the injury. You said equivalent to a 30-mile-an-hour car crash.
Right? Could it crush their bodies?
But also, no, how did they all end up in different places?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, single shot. That's
not the point I was trying to make, though.
Go ahead.
I mean, if they're terrified and they're running for their lives from something that's not there, they're going to be in different places.
That's true.
Right, and but it doesn't explain their.
And if it's like minus 20 outside, they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like in the movies, because it is, but like there have been tests on mice, of course,
mm-hmm.
about sound, because sound can mess with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They use sound as a torture device.
Yeah.
Certain pitches and certain patterns of sound can mentally destroy you and make you crack.
Just mentally, though, that's a key word there.
They've also done tests in mice where they do have a certain level of magnetic field. I don't know how they measure this. I'm sorry, I should have written this down, but and it actually exploded their organs when combined with a certain pitch of sound.
Really?
Or a certain pattern of sound. So
exploded their organs?
Yes. Internally made their organs rupture.
Whoa.
From
well, the vibrations and everything,
emotion,
yeah.
Yes, but and it's a motion that's inside. Happening, but you can't really feel it.
Yeah. So I just watched this horror movie about, it's a horror movie, I can't remember the name of it, but you're supposed to be really quiet.
A quiet place.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is. So it's supposed to be really quiet, and sorry to ruin the movie if you haven't seen
Spoilers ahead if you need to fast forward a few, a minute.
So anyway, she's deaf and has the implant,
cochlear
implant. And anyway, the amount of sound, cause he had to rig it, cause it's obviously the end of times, whatever. It was so loud. And if you've ever heard a mic, get too close to another mic and it creates that loud sound. So that was causing it in her head, but it was also causing it in the aliens' heads and causing them to they
freak
couldn't
out.
Function.
Right.
And they did almost explode from the inside, which is
interesting. It's a real thing. It's an experiment. I can't tell you if it's been done on humans or not, but
you would consider that under the bracket though
of a theory,
government experiment.
Theory. Yeah, absolutely. And isn't Russia around that time known for doing a lot of horrible experiments on humans?
Yes.
Yeah. For example, don't they have that sleep experiment?
But in the 50s, our audio equipment wasn't today, where we have, super focused sounds that can disperse crowds and things. It wasn't anywhere near that, I don't think.
And Single Shot, you might know more about this, but aren't there theories or maybe verified cases of the government weaponizing sound with ultrasonic weapons? Can you tell us anything
absolutely.
About that?
I know a few of them. There's actually a few that were used recently with all the protests and things. You can see videos of the stuff online. Let's see what the Florida rally they did for the about the victims of the shooting there.
Uh-huh.
They actually had police set up these huge trucks, and on these trucks were these arrays, look like solar panels, but they're actually super condensed speakers designed to point sound and make it impact you to the point where you felt physical discomfort from the sound. So these are weapons that actually exist, so they're not really meant for offensive purposes. They're just kind of meant for crowd control at this point.
So far, can they not damage?
I don't know what the extent of the damage could be.
Mm-hmm.
I do know they are pretty fucking loud, jet engine loud.
So you can actually internally. Hear it?
You can hear it.
Okay.
You'll hear it.
So going along with this theory, y'all are familiar with HAARP?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what HAARP is. HAARP is apparently a giant radioactive electromagnetic field or device or microwave of sorts.
Which
is supposed to be used as a weapon, which not a lot of people know. Go ahead.
But the birds, remember how everyone kept saying that that's what was causing
all the birds
to drop dead?
Yeah.
Really?
Because it was fucking up their
the sound. It was
starting up their info or what is it? Electromagnetic
brain
it just was causing them to basically explode
and
die.
I've never heard an actual reasoning for the possibility.
Well, that was one of the theories.
That's one of the theories. And a lot of people say there are videos of vortexes or
vortices
opening up in the middle of the sky, and they say that's HAARP. And
Whoa, really?
It's used because
there's an alternate. I know it's gonna get crazy. No, but like there's an alternate. Like there's, it's a bridge. Like Harp was created to be a bridge between dimensions, between universes.
Like a rainbow bridge.
So that we, yeah. So I mean, and apparently it's because there is some great battle that's coming, and I can go on and on about this, but let's get back to this.
But also, I mean, it can be weaponized.
Yes, exactly.
To be targeted
for certain things. And that's why they say, like, okay, the birds dropping dead, that was an accident. That was Harp. But there are other instances of people going crazy in, like mass hysteria type of situations nowadays that is being covered up.
Right,
like,
yeah.
So, but I could go on and on. That's another topic for another day.
So the point I'm trying to make with the sound thing, do you think that, this area could have that occur naturally?
Maybe, because that area, like, haven't you guys ever read about the Siberian forest? Like, all those holes that just appeared that nobody can really explain? Like, there's these, I wrote it down somewhere, but there is. There's, like, all these weird things in that specific area of, like, Russia, like... Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it. Like, there is a weird... It's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. There is some kind of force.
Like, environmental geometry.
Okay, something.
That's what I'm getting at. Thank you. Like, the area they were camping is so, like, acoustically resonant that the wind can cause these sounds to come in, and then you start feeling that feeling, and then you start get that fight or flight adrenaline rush, and... that ultimately leads to your demise. I mean,
and I'm sure fucking, other people have been there. I can back that up because I, when my heart goes up to like 200 fucking, beats per minute, like I freak out and I do think I'm gonna die and like explode from the inside.
Yeah,
no, but do you feel this from sound around you naturally occurring by wind and acoustics?
No, but I know the feeling. I'm just saying I can relate to that feeling.
So that
like
feeling
I can,
of having,
yeah,
to,
of having,
yeah,
to
do
like
something,
just like
get away.
Yeah, I can relate. But I was gonna say, going along with that, still, certain areas of our earth, certain, what are they called? Like minerals and stuff are more radioactive than others, or more electromagnetic than others.
Yeah,
so, like,
maybe
depending
that's
on
further
what's
under
the earth. Yeah, you don't know. We still don't know. Well, radiation is very powerful, and we're not sure exactly what it is, like where it comes from naturally, because it does occur places on earth naturally.
Yeah. It's from radioactive isotopes. It's from the natural decay of electrons and elements.
But also, like, a lot of...
Radioactivity and electromagneticism are two different things.
But they go along with each other.
To an extent, though, like, there's that whole theory with the pyramids, that they're actually, like,
giant
energy portals that they used for... Basically, that is sucking in. That's why they're in certain
control
specific areas.
Like a weapon.
Okay, look at this. In the field of paranormal research and paranormal investigation, electromagnetic fields have been known to cause feelings of dread and paranoia in humans, right?
Yeah.
That's why when we look for ghosts and things, we look for areas of high electromagnetic response to kind of validate that, okay, it might not be ghosts, it might just be your house is fucking old and you have unprotected copper wiring that's driving you crazy, right?
Okay.
Gamma radiation, nuclear radiation, shit like that, is physically destructive. It will break down the chromosomes in your body and make your cells think they're something else and destroy you from the inside out.
But that's why I paired them hand in hand, because after the radiation disaster in Japan not too long ago, like, a lot of people were feeling a certain way for a very long time after, and it was obvious that they had been affected by radiation, and that's, like, was the cause, and it was, like, a mass hysteria type situation where these people were all, like, freaking out. So that's why I compare them together, or I put them together, because in my head I'm thinking, like, it's the same cause. The same
reaction,
basically, either way. And so I think this theory is
pretty good.
It's pretty good, yeah.
I think the sound, what's it called again?
Infrasound
theory is actually pretty prevalent, and I may do more research into that. On
the
side.
Thing is, haven't other people been in this area? I mean, after
well, there
that?
Was people
That's
south
true.
Of the mountain,
there
remember?
Were,
but not
that
for
were
three
camping.
Years.
No. There was people during the same time south of the mountain camping.
And had nothing.
Nothing
knew
happened
nothing,
to them.
Nothing happened to
a
them.
A little before and a little after in the general area. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, maybe that night was the perfect environment for it, but there's been no other, you know, verified cases or incidents just like
this. It could just
have
been one of those freak of nature, perfect storms, right.
Also, on a sort of related, did you know microchips were invented during that time?
Yes.
Like, do you think that had any kind of impact? Like, with so much going on in the environment, like, as far as electromagnetic waves and all of that, like, could that have had any impact?
Possibly.
Or does that not relate? I'm just curious.
So
I don't think it relates at all.
Technological reasons or military type
Well,
reasons?
I mean, look at Wi-Fi, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Wi-Fi, we can't see it, but it's around everywhere. Us, right? And it can potentially have, like, health effects on us. So what if, like, it was this time of research and Russia was always trying so hard to, like, keep up, especially with, like, space and, like, all of that. So what if it was some secret, like, hidden thing where they're trying to, not so much microchips, but, like,
Russia,
But, yeah, so if they were already inventing microchips by this time, like, what if that's just a part of, like...
Yeah, I get it. I see what you're trying to say, and I think that it could go along with it. Well, they don't know what they're using, what they're doing technologically. Like, even our military right now, you don't know what they're doing.
Well, yeah, and then it happens to be in this mountain that not a lot of people go in, that, like, maybe does have the right exact elements that they happen to be using.
Single shot, I heard you go,
I don't know. It seems like a stretch to me.
Well, I just want to bring forward all theories, and I want to ask all questions.
But on that note, we can talk about the military KGB theories.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, leading us there.
So part of the reason they think the military or KGB could have been involved is because Seaman, or Sasha as he was being called, had military experience. I can't remember what group he was in, but it was a really intense group where most people didn't come back. And he actually had 4 medals being in those groups,
like,
and actually coming
back. Kind.
Yes.
Like in Aliens, he's the robot, like...
He might not have been a robot.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, he's the, like, Spawn.
Yeah. Right. And the thing is that he came in at the last minute.
On that trip.
Yeah. He was supposed to go with another group. So was he really supposed to go with another group?
He was probably sent there.
Were they sent to watch them because maybe they were going into a sensitive area? But yeah, he was seen, like, dancing and laughing with them and having a really good time. But people have started to think... Maybe it was all a ploy. He was playing these people to seem friendly when he was really
trying to
spying
hurt
on them the whole time. Or maybe not even trying
but
to hurt
them.
But
he also died.
He also died in a really horrible way. Doesn't mean that he wasn't involved.
Yeah.
But he also,
or maybe
he died
snapped
horribly.
And that's what caused them to rip out of the tent because he was like an alien. Something crazy happens and you're just like, oh, shoot, talkies. And then you have to run and, like, leave all your things.
And again, he was the one with the camera around his neck. So it would make sense if he was always trying to document what they were doing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It doesn't surprise me to think that or to hear that because I also was thinking about, like, a military reason or theory. But... I feel okay. So, like, this is like stage 3 of this group of people, like, and like this is like a publicly known thing. The what's it called again? What's the group they're in called? The Camp Scouts. What is it called?
Dyatlov.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was named after Igor, so I don't know that they're a really good group name. Is that what you're asking?
No, but when
like,
the organization that they were in, the group
like
that
the Boy Scouts,
led the
are they Boy Scouts basically?
I don't know what group
I think
they
said
were really
in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, well, this
They were connected by a school.
Okay.
Is that
so
it?
That.
So I feel like if the military were to go in and try and like if they were creating any kind of weapon, whether it be a physical weapon, like a mental destroying weapon, like I feel like they would try and test it on the strongest group of people that they know, and like if all these people are trying for this one thing, like it's. They're all doing the hardest thing in that thing. You know? Sorry. But yeah, I feel like maybe they did send that guy in if he was like military to put him to this test and that they failed and that his dying, like he went in knowing that he was going to die.
Oh, yeah. Just I never even thought of that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Also,
sorry, I was trying to put
I
it
didn't
into words.
Think about this at all until just right now that you mentioned it, but. That guy was also the one wearing Dubonina, the chick who had her tongue and everything ripped out. He was wearing, her coat and her hat. So did he watch that happen
or
was
he
involved?
To do with it? I'm starting maybe to, like, see, I think maybe he was involved somehow, and it was a big military experiment and they failed. Like,
also though, there is that whole hypothermia theory that, like, when you get hypothermia, you start taking clothes off because you feel like you're burning, and you can also start, like, hallucinating and, like, losing your mind. So perhaps that could have been, maybe he lost his mind and like killed her in this, like, hypothermia state.
Okay, so I have to ask about her injuries. Like, did it look like they were surgically removed by a professional?
I didn't see anything like that, but I heard that it was possible that animals might have, you know, eaten it or pecked away at it. So I guess it looked similar. But the main thing was that she had her own blood in her stomach.
Yeah.
Which is what... maybe she was alive at the time,
but also,
or maybe something happened.
But you can also fall and hit your stomach and rupture, I mean, organs, and you can internally bleed just from regular injuries.
Also, though, why didn't, if there was a scavenger of an animal, I mean, they're scavengers, why wouldn't they have ate the other tongues and mouths? And because I figure it wouldn't just be like, oh,
no, it wouldn't just be one.
Animals usually come back if they know that there's more food more in that food, area.
Right. More animals come too.
Yeah. But a little bit back to semen. he went by Sasha, and they're not sure if he was purposely trying to hide his name.
Probably.
Or maybe, you know, I have a nickname. We call each other by nicknames. Maybe he just went by Sasha, but it's supposedly thought that he was trying to hide his name.
And Sasha is not a girl's name in Russia, just for y'all people that don't are like, oh, he was a girl. Okay, whatever. No, that's a boy's
name. And he was also
name.
Considered really unusual for the times because he had tattoos and gold teeth.
Time jumper. Maybe. Another theory.
There are theories
because I
on
always say
time travel, but I didn't get to look into those too much.
I didn't get to. I'm saying I really think that we need to do it like a part two episode to this
because
I'm eventually going to do more research on this because it was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
But let's keep going. There's so many other theories.
A couple quick things. So Yuri Yudin, the one considered the survivor, said that the government wanted to make it seem like nothing happened.
I bet.
And apparently, the government tried to dictate how their funerals worked.
Really? What?
They decided who could and couldn't have open caskets. They decided that they could not all be buried together. They decided the time they were buried. And yeah, it was just really weird that they put their hands in these things.
In everything,
at
all. When it's like I mentioned with the
autopsy. Well, if something like that happened, wouldn't you want to hide it too? I mean, this is an area frequented by people.
Right, but do they have the right
it
to put their
hands
in the
funeral? It wasn't that
frequented.
It's not about rights when you're in Cold
when
War era.
Yeah.
And there's also, I couldn't verify this either, but it was on that podcast I was listening to that they said they found information about a nurse somewhere claiming that 11 bodies were found, but only 9 were reported. She claims that she saw 2 more bodies that were flown out of the area. And another thing they were freaking out was that the pilot said he wouldn't fly them out unless they were in a zinc-lined coffin. So, of course, people were saying, well, why zinc? Zinc stops, like, biological agents and such. But working in the death care industry, we know that you just don't want those biological things coming out of those caskets. But it was supposedly thought odd at the time. Why would this pilot insist on making sure they were in such caskets or coffins that he wouldn't get sick or get
the radiation? Too,
I think radiation's only stopped by lead. I'm not sure zinc.
Okay.
Usually lead.
Okay.
Interesting.
So, yeah, what other theories are there?
I thought it was really funny to hear the Yeti theory because, okay, so going back to the injuries of the chest and saying how it couldn't have been done by anything larger than like a force, like a car injury or whatever, car crash, I should say. They think, and in that specific area, that there's like the Yeti theory. And supposedly, I don't know how true this is because I didn't get to research this part. But I had read somewhere that there was a letter or in one of the diary entries, one of them had written, "We now know the snowman is real."
Yes.
But
interesting.
Also then. OK, so I like that theory. I also like that, like, you know, the force of a Yeti could have caused those fractures.
But
there
still
would be
have outside. Marks,
and there was no footprints. There was no footprint, unless this was like a flying Yeti.
Yeah.
And after all of their like extensive documentation in the diaries, why would she have just written, now we know it exists?
Yeah.
Well, how many days went by between the time that they were up there and the time they were found?
I have to look back because I don't remember.
Wasn't it?
Right.
3 weeks.
So they were really up there from February 1st to... Where did I lose that?
February 20th, I thought you
said.
Yeah,
I think so. February 20th is when they started looking for them. Yeah.
Okay. So how many days is that?
That's math.
20 days. They were up there 20 days before they were found.
So your footprints can go to hell because they're not there anymore.
No, all 9 footprints were found.
They saw
That's the
all
point.
The footprints. So it'd and be weird to not see other footprints if theirs were tracks. Still found by
theirs,
the 20th.
Theirs were still found. And again, that just like proves the avalanche theory because wouldn't they have been covered, the footsteps?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
But also, how was the tent covered with a little bit of snow and their footprints were still...
Mm-hmm.
Back off the mic.
I can't help it.
But again, in a lot of their photos, you can see them being really playful and posing. And there's actually a couple photos of them pretending to basically be dead or in distress in the snow.
Wow.
Which is really unfortunate foreshadowing for them.
Yeah.
But I think it's in Nikolai's camera. He's the one that has the shadowy figure in the background. But again, due to all the other playful photos, were one of them posing for this? Or was this something they'd really seen? Especially if they're being playful, have somebody in the background, and then their friend saying, I guess we know it exists now. Like, to me, that sounds like playful. They're playing around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Right, and I don't know how much photo manipulation tools they had at the time, and then why would they do it after?
Yeah.
Well, and then also, again, that blurry picture that was found, which leads to the whole, also, like, the alien theory, because there was orange lights or orange orbs.
Yes.
By the remember too. When I was talking about the hikers that were on the same mountain, but, like, south?
Yeah.
Or on the other side. They saw orbs, like, orange orbs around the northern part, which is where they were camping.
And didn't they say that their skin was orange?
Their skin
but that
was
could
darkened.
Have also. Have you guys ever seen? I have a mummy book, and it does look like, especially cold.
Yeah,
like people
it does.
That have been frozen kind of have like an orangey.
So that to
almost sunburned.
Right. Yes, almost sunburned, and like a and their beards do turn almost like white.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So to me, that was really like I've
pushing
seen plenty
it.
Of.
Yeah.
So those orange lights in the sky, they described as being like bright and fiery, like obviously really noticeable, not just like, oh, look, there's something kind of out
like,
there.
No,
I don't
like
know what
clearly. And there was other people in town that had seen them, too.
Yes.
Huh.
And apparently aliens? They thought it took about 15 to 20 minutes for them to cross the sky from their perspective. It was taking a long time just for them to not go out.
I wonder if, too, that picture that they took was of those lights. And also, if that's what they ran, like, if they saw the lights and they're like, oh, my gosh, what is that?
Yeah.
But then they would have ran through the front, not through the...
To put some clothes on.
Yeah, and to
maybe
leave through the front.
It. Maybe they were terrified.
Mm-hmm. And the other people that have seen it have said there's no sound to them.
You assume they had time, but if there's something right on top of you, how much time do you have?
Well, that's my
you
whole thing.
You don't know how you're going to react.
They cut their way out of the tent from the inside.
Exactly.
Something was at the front.
Something scared
that's
them.
That's exactly my whole thing, is something frightened them enough to make these experienced people risk their lives
to
by
get away
going
from
into the
unprepared.
Cold, going unprepared, and ripping their tent, and, again, like you said, leaving without clothes.
Grabbing whatever they
so
had.
Obviously.
Exactly.
The camera around my neck, her fucking jacket, because it was there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a quick instance, but there's why something. Wasn't there footprints
because
on the front?
Aliens, okay.
Unless it
I
was,
just
like,
aliens.
So do you think...
Giorgio Tsouglas like, over here.
Tell me what you think was the example. Did they come down? Did the light... Like, what is your alien theory?
Yeah, because there's no marks.
Oh, wait. Based on what you're thinking
they
right
were just,
now, that's it.
Wait, I do have one thing to mention about the alien theory, too. Supposedly, the tree tops of that area were charred.
Finished.
Yes.
Really?
I read that somewhere, that some of the tree tops in that area were charred.
And
sorry,
what,
Adam
and what do people report when they look up these, you know, like crop circle incidents and things like that?
Singed.
Singed. Yeah. Slightly increased
flat.
Radiation levels.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
So.
Interesting.
Those aliens, y'all.
And this is similar, okay? It's not very similar, but it makes me think about the old couple here who was abducted while they were driving home from dinner one day. Wasn't it in Alaska? That's like the most famous case that we have is the old people.
I'm not sure. I don't think I remember that one. Tell me about it.
It's that.
Just that they were driving home and they were abducted?
I can't think of their names. Yeah, but I think it was in Alaska and they were driving home and then like all of a sudden they were gone and they knew they were together, but they weren't on Earth and there were people in front of them. They said, we're going to separate y'all now. We're going to do some experiments and then we'll send y'all home. Well, and it was the Grays. It was like, that's the most those common are the big abduction ones, stories.
The big head, the black eyes.
And then when they actually got back to on Earth, like they had different like radioactive metals on their clothes and like radioactive fibers on their clothes that were not from this world that tested like to match nothing on Earth. Like, and so, yeah, but it reminds me of the Dyatlov Pass because obviously, like, so I would say aliens or the military. Or infrasound or whatever.
Both.
EMF.
Or both, right? Yeah. Or a cover-up of aliens.
Well, the lights are actually thought to be akin to the original Foo Fighters. Not the band.
Okay. I was like, what?
The reason that that name exists is that pilots, was it World War II? It was, wasn't it? We're seeing these bright lights that seem to be almost toying with them while they were flying.
They would match speed and then just fucking disappear.
Right. And that they weren't responding to being shot at. They weren't responding to anything other than like their movements. Like it was trying to play with them.
It still happens still today.
Oh yeah.
Similarly described. So was it that?
There's so many pilots that have come forth in, I mean, even in just the recent years, even footage and stuff of very similar stories.
Cold War era, though, is a big one for that. For some reason, we had instances where, you know, we lost entire squadrons of bombers over a Bermuda Triangle just because they didn't know where they were anymore.
Yeah.
And they mentioned seeing these Foo Fighters show up, and all of a sudden, equipment's gone, no fuel, we're just going to put her down in the ocean.
Yeah. So, when I was at that job that the lady Faith Hill that I told y'all about took me to church or whatever. There was also one of my bosses. He was like a pilot in the military and he was in his 40s, like when I was there. And he would always, like at a certain time of day on a certain month, or every month on a certain date though, like I think it was the 13th of the month at a certain time, like he would just freeze. Like an overwhelming amount of fear would like wash over him and he would have to leave. Like he would go pale and he would leave. And so finally one day I asked him like, you know, like what's going on? And he was just like, I've seen some shit as a pilot. Like, I can't really tell you about it. Like I'm under government oath to not ever speak of what I have saw, what I have seen and what I have been through in the sky and who I have dealt with in the sky.
And you think he was a believable person? Aliens.
Oh, yeah. But he genuinely looked super freaked out. And, like, I did get him to admit that it was, like, extraterrestrial, like, UFO stuff. Like, but he wouldn't go into any more detail.
Well, and a lot of
astronauts. He's dead now. The Men in Black killed
probably
him.
Because of you.
Yeah. But I'm so nosy.
Right? And now, for sure, after this podcast.
They're going to find him.
Yeah. No, but, like, there are a lot of astronauts and pilots that have reported.
Yeah.
Like, alien activity.
It's out there,
while being
people,
in the sky.
Stop trying to deny it. Stop saying it's God. It's not. God is not real. It's aliens. I wasn't farting. That was the ball I'm sitting on. Aliens just make me so gassy.
Wow. So back to the topic.
So also there was this interesting thing, and I might have not done my homework properly, but at first I was like so excited. I was like, this is what caused the radiation on their clothes, because there was a like radiation disaster that happened in 1957, like September 1957, and the radioactive, like, I guess,
material.
Yeah. That was still in the air did travel north.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of disaster was this?
This was a radioactive contamination accident.
From what?
It happened. It was, I don't remember. No, it was actually human error. It was something stupid.
But
like,
what was it? A nuclear weapon or like a nuclear power plant?
No, it was like a power plant, yeah.
I don't think that'll generate enough fallout.
But it did. It, like, a lot of the places nearby ended up with radiation poisoning because it traveled north. But again, this was in 1957, and then I looked at the date, and the accident actually happened in 1959, as far as, like, the Detlef Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So it was years after, but maybe there was still radiation.
In the area?
Yeah, that could have caused higher radiation that, like, people didn't realize it was still traveling north, or... I don't know, I'm just going way out there, because I tried to think of, like... trying to find solutions. I was like, no, okay, there's radiation in that area already, like... I just went down the Alex
radiation
Jones train.
Until it reaches the atmosphere or the stratosphere is relatively safe if you're not in the area.
But it was over, like, normal levels is what I'm saying. Like, it traveled north and it did affect multiple villages and towns.
So is the smoke detector in your living room.
Okay, so I actually had a weird thought of the day that I wanted to do with y'all about something that I always see. Have you ever seen, like, semis and their exhausts? Like,
oh, yeah.
You can see how the waves...
Yeah.
I know they say it's just heat waves, but what if it were something else? Like, what if it were, like, a
like
magnetic
they were
or, like,
radiation?
Yeah.
Like, contrails?
And then you see, like, the bending of the...
Of
universe
time and space.
In the little wave.
All right, I'm going to shut this down right now.
No! It's just a thought. It was just a weird thought of the day. That it was supposed to be a little one, but I just included it in here.
Your weird thought is
why
very
not?
Weird. Almost too weird.
Well, why do you think we're here?
Yeah. Well, okay, well, on that note, very interesting topic, Dyatlov Pass.
Does anyone have any other theories, or have you picked one that you're pretty sure about?
Alien military battle experiment.
Chainsaw.
I think it has to be either aliens or military and or both. Like, as far as, like, military knew that there was some kind of, like, activity and or they were testing and or, I don't know, aliens or military.
Infrasound.
I am kind of leaning towards and, infrasound, too.
And if you're talking about hallucinations with hypothermia, you don't think bright lights are probably hallucinating?
Could be. But other people who were not suffering from hypothermia saw the lights as well.
And the last picture
How do you know
they
weren't suffering from hypothermia?
Because they were at home.
How do you know they weren't
in
up
the
there?
City.
How do you know they weren't up there camping with, like, a big old bag of shrooms or some shit?
This was in the Civil War era when, like...
Cold War.
Oh, not Civil War.
And that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. They've been... Using, you know,
hey,
that
drugs
kind of
are
stuff.
Always available, man.
That was also speaking of tribes and trying things, man. Being adventurous. The Monsi tribe was also, like, ruled out because they were like, oh, they did it. But again, no footprints.
A
and
lot
like,
of them were also
not...
helping to look for them.
Yeah.
And so, what reason would they really have to hurt these people?
Aliens. So. I think, okay, so do you guys think the infrasound could have been done by the government and or
sure.
by aliens?
Maybe environmental,
or
maybe
natural just phenomena?
Alien military battle sound experience.
Battle sound experience. I love the way you describe them.
What about you, Single Shot?
I think it might have been freak of nature, perfect storm scenario, and yeah. I'll
but that doesn't explain the tongue.
Okay, you want to explain the tongue. Where were they found?
They were found
particularly
in
the woman with the tongue. How far away from the campsite
ravine.
Is that?
She was, hold on, 75 meters further into the woods from the tree.
Okay. Into the woods.
Mm-hmm. But no animal marks, no anything else was found near them or around that, like, no tracks, nothing.
Right. Because if she fell, there would have been bruising on her, more than likely. And
my immediate thought to that is creatures from
of
bugs.
Of course.
Flies.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling them that.
But it's like you talk about cattle mutilation. They disproved that pretty readily.
Yeah,
as
they did.
Just scavengers going after soft tissue and creatures.
Sure, but there was... three other bodies there that were untouched.
Maybe
and
they,
also, like...
Maybe they were just... They died at the right angle where they wouldn't be accessible. you know,
we'll post some of these pictures
face down
so
versus
people
face
can,
up.
Yeah. Judge for themselves.
Yeah, but I want to see the
whatever
pictures.
This unknown compelling force was.
Yeah, it could have been solid chest to cause like small fractures on your head or large fractures on your head without any
external
damage.
Physical like.
Yeah. Did they say external really damage or did they say?
But no
external
bruise?
Marks.
No external
no
damage.
Bruises,
no
anything?
Damage. No bruises.
No sign of blunt force trauma.
Nothing.
Anything like that.
Nothing. Maybe the one with the small fracture. I think they might have seen signs of blunt force trauma.
Concussion.
I read there was nothing.
Was there nothing on him?
I read
too?
There was nothing, and that they none of them died because of their injuries.
Maybe they just assumed
all
the small
of
fracture
them
was from it. Then.
Died from hypothermia. So exposure.
Or was the Emmy just being a little lazy?
Or keep
like,
in mind...
Oh, it was hypothermia. It was hypothermia.
Keep in mind, though, that there was that prosecutor that spent how much time at the autopsies? He
three
spent
days.
3 days there. So,
he
I mean,
probably
could have
saw
very well been
stuff
fixed.
That made him like, oh, no, we can't release their causes of death.
He spent three
they
days
all
there
died of the cold.
Nine autopsies
he didn't
to do.
Stay for all of them. He was only there for the first, like, the beginning ones.
He got bored.
He didn't come back. I think he plotted
think,
the story.
I
he
think that he saw something, said, nope, we can't release their cause of death. That's too extraterrestrial. Military sound experiment battle.
I hope that we titled this one Military Sound Experiment Battle.
Alien Military Sound
Alien.
Experiment.
There you go. I'm sorry. Yes. I said it wrong.
We'll get it. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. If you have any extra information about this Dyatlov Pass incident, please send it to weirdthinkingpodcast@gmail.com.
What? What was it?
weirdthinkingpodcast@gmail.com.
You act like we're running
now
out
do
of
it
time.
In reverse.
Like we're not in control
what
of this.
What is it in reverse?
We are controlling the time.
And we're controlling you as
I
well.
Can't say that in reverse.
Oh, no, wait.
No.
Do what? Do
what?
That was
do
my, do, my weird do what?
Oh, good.
Okay.
Goodbye.